The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Somebody's going to be living right. Somebody's going to be loving everybody. Somebody's going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody's going to be ready for the sound. Not everybody, but somebody. Somebody will. I do have a word from the Lord for somebody. Somebody needs to hear what I'm going to say today. Verse 15 of Job chapter 1, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they had killed the servants with the edge of the sword. Listen to these words, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 16, while he was speaking, another came also and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them. Here it is again. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Anytime you see the same words over and over and over, there's a sermon in it. Always, every time. Just remember that. God wastes no verses. And if he says something over and over and over, he's trying to get your attention to say something. And this kind of sounds like 2020. This kind of sounds like this year. It's not that we've dealt with one thing. It's one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. Watch, verse 17. So you already had two incidents and only one guy escaped the first one. Another guy escaped the second crisis. Verse 17, while he was speaking, another one also came. It said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away. Yes, killed all your servants. All your employees quit. With the edge of the sword, I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, another also came, said, your sons and daughters were eating, drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, fell on the young people. They're all dead. But I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. If ever he was going to quit, this was the time to do it. If ever he was going to lose faith in God, this was the time to do it. If anybody had an excuse to say, I'm out, I'm done, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe in Bible anymore, I don't believe in nothing, it was Job. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I want to talk to you for a few moments about this. What is so evident in this text is that it's a time of tragedy and crisis and trial and difficulty after difficulty. Just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worse. And every time, though, the scripture, for a reason, points out that the servant would say, and I alone, I'm the only one who made it out. All the others, it wiped them out, but I made it. I alone made it. When it looked like nobody could, somebody did, and somebody always will. I want to preach on that subject today. Somebody always will. Did you notice that out of every trial, no matter how severe it was, somebody always made it out to tell the story? And what kills others and what takes others down and what causes others to give up and what causes other people to let their dream die, there's always somebody who's going to get out of it and come through it and tell the story of how it took them out, but I survived. Somebody always will make it through. Well, it took others out, but somebody always made it through. The devil never has and never shall get them all. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Somebody is going to make it out. And you may be going through something And you may be facing things and the enemy's whispering it. Nobody else has made it. Nobody else can live it. Nobody else can stand. Nobody else can live like they ought to live. So why are you even trying? When nobody could, somebody did, and somebody always will. When I read the scriptures in Genesis, we have Satan presented as a hideous serpent. But then you go to the book of Revelation, and he is a devouring dragon. And that dragon has a flood when he opens his mouth that comes out of his mouth. And I believe that we are facing a foe that is at flood stage. The enemy's flood is coming against the world and this nation and our families and our lives. People in this year perhaps have suffered more setbacks and more battles. It wasn't just one thing, but it was one thing after another. But somebody always made it through. Somebody made it out. And we're sitting in this room today as a testimony. I still believe and I still am standing and I still know that God is my defense. Isaiah 59 and verse 19 said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, at flood stage, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him with smugness and arrogance and conceit. The devil has plotted and planned and thought that his plan was undefeatable, only to find out that throughout the Bible, always God had somebody who made it through what took out and would have taken out anybody else. And they made it through because of their faith. And the reason that I'm preaching this is since somebody always will, it ought to be you. You ought to make up your mind, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lay down and I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm going to make it because God is on my side. Hell's theme song to the young people, to the youth in this day, and especially in the middle of this pandemic, is everybody is doing it. That's Hell's theme song. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's compromising. Everybody's partying. Everybody's getting high. Everybody's getting drunk. Everybody's losing their morality. Everybody's sleeping around. Everybody's doing it. Nope, that's not true. Somebody always will. There's somebody who's living right. There's somebody who's saying no. There's somebody who's saying, I love Jesus so much, I'd rather have God's purpose in my life than any. There's somebody who's going to live holy in 2020. There's somebody who's going to abstain and say, I'm waiting till I get married. But the devil wants you to think everybody's doing it. Everybody. But he's a liar. The thing about the devil is he hates the Bible. And the two books that he hates the most in the Bible is the book of Genesis, because that tells where he started from. Because God put him on his belly, defeated him. And he crawled out. And the devil hates that. And I enjoy preaching it. Walked in, crawled out. That's how he's going to leave this service. Walked in and crawling out, because Jesus is Lord. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. And then there's the last book. And I just want to beat up on the devil a little bit, because if you let him do all the talking, you're going to lose. You got to learn how to trash talk the devil sometimes. And I plan on doing that this morning. He's not going to win. Cancer's not going to kill you. Heart disease, God's not through with you. God's not finished with you. And the devil may have walked in big, bad, and bold, but he's going to crawl out, because the blood of Jesus, you're standing in blood. You're sitting in blood. You're covered by the blood. And somebody always did, and somebody always will. I alone have made it out to tell the story. When I think about, not only does he hate the book of Genesis that tells where he came from, but he hates the book of Revelation, because it tells where he's going. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that one angel, not a legion, One angel. All the hail, all the violence, all the murder, all the disasters of the universe come from this thing called, this being called Satan, Lucifer, spirit. And all it's going to take when God says that's enough is one angel. The Bible said it's going to take one chain, and then it says he's going to take the key and unlock the bottomless pit. Anybody got a set of keys on you? Anybody got any keys? Thank you. But can you imagine one angel, one chain, and then he's going to take one key? Every time the devil hears a believer unlock their car, he goes into a panic attack. Is that angel? Is he coming for me with that chain and that key? Because the Bible said he's going to unlock the pit and throw the devil in it. And I love this. And it said, and he shall be shut up. There's coming a day when the accuser, the liar, the deceiver, the fearing voice of Satan is going to be shut up. And every time you rattle your keys, you ought to get your keys out and rattle and remind him, not only did you walk in and crawl out, but one day you're going to be shut up for eternity by one angel and one key. Now, you need to sanitize those. I'm telling you today that there's people that are going through things that you're going through, and they're going to survive it. And if you don't change your mindset, you're not. Because if you don't get something in your soul, somebody's going to always be praising God. Somebody's God is going to be praised. And if the enemy takes everything we've got, some of us have made up our mind. You say, that's easy to say. Yeah, but I just know at this point, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so I've got plenty to praise him for. He loves me. And even if I lose the house or the car, he loves me. So I'm going to keep on praising him. And I'm going to tell you something else. The devil can't stop the rapture from taking place. The rapture is going to happen, and he's not in control. He said to Noah, go in. He said to Lot, come out. And he's about to say to the church, come up. And the trumpet is going to blast. And when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And what a day that's going to be as we wake, and it's going to look like tribulation is going to take over, Antichrist 666 on planet Earth. And just as that's starting to take over, when it looked like nobody could, somebody will, because somebody always has, and we're going to go flying through the air to a place called New Jerusalem. And you can laugh at it, and you can mock it, and you can say that's that old stuff. But one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound, and we are going to leave this world goodbye. Somebody will. Not everybody in here. There's wheat and there's tares, and they're growing up together. But somebody's going to be living right. Somebody's going to be loving everybody. Somebody's going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody's going to be ready for the sound. Not everybody, but somebody. Somebody will. Somebody will. I intend to be somebody. When I think about how that the devil schemed and designed ways to stop God's plan of salvation. How that with the first family, Adam and Eve, and they had a son named Cain, and then they had another son named Abel. And the devil thought when he heard the prophecy that the woman's child would crush, there would come a Messiah through the woman. In Genesis was the prophecy, there would come a Redeemer and a Messiah, and he'll crush your head, serpent. And so the devil started getting nervous, and he began his addiction to Xanax then, and he began to worry. He just began to worry and be. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll mess up that lineage. I'll mess up the bloodline so that a Messiah can't come. And so with the first family, Cain slew Abel. And when he slew Abel, the devil thought he had messed up the plan. But the Bible said that Eve had another son named Seth. And the bloodline kept flowing. The bloodline kept flowing. And then the devil said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll mess up the whole human race. And in Genesis 6, it said that the sons of God, which is a biblical reference to the angels of God, they had relations with the daughters of men. Your Bible teaches that there was a time when fallen spirits with Lucifer had physical relationships with daughters of men on earth, and they created a freak race of giants. And the next verse says, and there were giants in the land. And so the devil thought, I have messed up the plan of God to produce a redeemer because I've messed up the bloodline of the human race. And God said, oh no, somebody's going to get out of here. Noah, build an ark. Build an ark. I'm going to have to clean the whole human race out. But my plans, I got somebody. I always got one little family, just one little family that's going to get in the ark, and they're going to float right out of this mess into a new world. And I'm going to start all over again. And they're going to have, and then the devil said, I got to stop this thing. So God says, well, it's about time for me to raise up a nation now. Because if I'm going to have a redeemer, I got to have a nation. And the prophet said that it would be from the tribe of Judah. So I got to get a nation going here, but problem is my chosen people are over there in Egypt in slavery, so I need a deliverer. I need somebody to go say, let my people go. And God says, I'll just have me somebody at this time who'll be a deliverer, and I'll call his name Moses. And the Bible said that Moses was born in Pharaoh. This is the devil working, saying, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to get them all. And he said, kill all the boys. Kill all the male children, kill them all, kill them all. A certain age, just kill them all, so that that race that will ultimately produce Mary, and Mary will have a little lamb, because the bloodline of Jesus came from God. God was the male, and Mary was the female. And so the lineage is all connected to Mary, you see. And so listen to me. So what that was about was the Pharaoh's decree, and he's killing all the babies, but only he got them all. He got them all. No, you didn't get them all. There was one in a little basket that went floating down the river, ended up in the palace, and ended up walking up to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go, because God always has one that's going to get out. And the devil says, I got to try again. I got to get a master plan. I know what I'll do. And he gets him a man by the name of Herod. This is many generations later. And the devil thinks, I sense something's coming. I'm nervous. That bloodline is still intact. And Herod hears about a star over a manger, and he says, I put a decree out. We're going to kill all the babies 2 years of age and under, because I got to stop this Messiah stuff from happening. And the devil thought he killed them all. But one night, a little angel showed up and said, Mary and Joseph, that little baby you've got's in danger. Get out of here. Go to Egypt. Just cross the border and get out of here and hold it down there until, hold the baby Jesus down there until the coast is clear. And they slipped out, and Herod thought, I killed them all. And by the way, the reason that the devil wants to kill all the babies in every generation, including this one, is because he knows deliverance is coming through the seed. He knows there's prophets out there. He knows there's evangelists out there. He knows there's doctors out there that could have the cure of cancer. He knows there's all kinds of things and deliverance that wants to come into the earth, because God's a good God. He's not a mad, mean God. He's a good God. But the devil wants to wipe out the babies. And just when it, and I love what Jesus said. I love what Jesus, you know, Herod was the one who tried to kill him. And 30 years later, after he's grown up from a baby, the Bible said that Herod sent word and said, are you the Messiah? And he said these words in Luke chapter 13 and verse 32. He said, you go tell that fox. He thought he was going to get me. That old fox thought he would kill me when I was a baby. And listen to what Jesus' answer was. It's kind of sharp. He said, you go tell that fox, speaking of Herod, you tell him that I cast out devils and I do cures. And then he just puts it on him. He says, and I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and on the third day, I'm going to be perfected. If you think it's something what I'm doing now, you tell that old fox that tried to kill me when I was just a little baby that I do miracles, I do cures, I do healings, I cast out devils. And on the third day, if you think that's something, he didn't know what he was talking about. But on the third day, when I come up out of that grave, I'm going to have all kinds of deliverance and victory going on in the earth. You can't stop. The devil thought that he could stop it, but the truth is he missed one. One got away. Every time one got away, Jesus got away. Job 1 verse 15, I only have escaped. Job 16 verse 16, I only have escaped to tell you. After every devastating blow, somebody survived to tell the story. There will never be a time when the devil gets them all. Somebody's going to come out. Somebody's going to stand out. Somebody's going to be a young man, a young woman of character and integrity. Somebody's going to say, I am willing to be the one. I am okay with being that somebody. Somebody is going to make it out. The only thing worse than a compromiser is thinking that you're the only one. And that's what happened to Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, the Bible said that Elijah got feeling sorry for himself, and he said, God, I'm the only one living it. I'm the only one who's not doing all this stuff. I'm the only one who's not compromising. I am the last bastion of holiness. I am it. Nobody else is living clean. Nobody else loves you. And God said, you don't know what you're talking about. I have 7,000 people who have not bowed their knee. Somebody needs to hear today that you're not the only one. When you go off to college, when you go off to school, when you go back to school, the devil loves to tell you everybody's compromising, everybody's doing it, everybody's letting down, everybody is living wild. No, they're not. Somebody's living for God. Somebody loves the Lord. I remember when I was coming up and I just made up my mind. I was going to keep myself till marriage. I was going to do it. And the devil said, everybody's doing it. Even my friends made fun of me sometimes. But you know what? You can do it if you want to do it. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to live right. Somebody's going to live clean. Why don't you be that somebody? Why don't you make up your mind? Somebody will, and it might as well be me.
We are so honored that you would decide to join us on Kingdom Connection today. If you felt God pull on your heart at any point in this broadcast, and you would like to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, I want to invite you to pray with me right where you are. Prayer is powerful. Right where you are, say these words, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe in you. I believe you died and shed your blood to cleanse me from all my sin. I am forgiven by faith in your name, Jesus. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. And I thank you, I praise you, change me, turn me around. In your name I pray, amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. That's why we do what we do. In a lot of the mission programs we do, and I'm going to tell you about one in just a moment, they're all kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. But the real purpose that we're here, every time we come to you, everything we do is to lift up a man named Jesus and a place called Calvary where you can find forgiveness and unconditional love in Jesus Christ. And I believe today that America needs the message of Jesus Christ like never before. We're at a tipping point in our nation's history. And I want to encourage you, as the election is coming up, to pray. And I want to tell you that and challenge you that your voice matters, your vote matters. What you do on November the 3rd not only affects us, but it affects your children and your children's children. And it will have ramifications to our brothers and sisters in the nation of Israel and all over the world. The sad fact is, during COVID-19, the fear and isolation of some of Israel's neediest people have become more severe. And that's why our partnership with the Israel-based organization Yale has become a lifeline for so many of these extraordinary Jewish people. But we have more to do, and the needs are urgent. So I'm asking you to share your best gift. You can right now be a part of this media ministry that is changing and touching the nation of Israel and the world. We're preaching the gospel right here at home in America in this critical hour. With your gift, we're able to preach the gospel to over 200 nations. That blows my mind. And we're able to produce inspirational content to go above and beyond to support projects like this one around the world. Thank you for your generosity. And pray and ask God what He would have you do. We need your help. The need is greater than ever before. Here's my announcer to tell you more.
We are entering a critical election season in the United States, and times like these always require action from the body of Christ. That's why we as a ministry have been fasting and praying. So this is our three-step strategy for restoration, renewal, and revival in America. Pray, fast, vote. The stakes are high for America and its friends and allies around the world too, especially Israel. We share common values and common civilization. And most importantly, we share the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries continues to do everything we can to bring help and comfort to the elderly Holocaust survivors of Israel. And this month, when you give your best gift of $500 or more to help these precious survivors, we want to send you our brand new Acres of Diamonds curriculum kit and the special edition Jensen Franklin Legacy Study Bible. With your gift of $300 or more this month, we'll send you Anoint the Place of Your Dreams on CD, an anointing oil set, and the Jensen Franklin Legacy Study Bible. And with your gift of $50 or more this month, we want to send you Jensen Franklin's Pray, Fast, Vote book and the Spirit of Honor CD and DVD combo. Your support is fulfilling biblical prophecy by bringing comfort to the nation of Israel. Preach the good news and helping those in desperate need around the globe. Call now or visit us online today.
Dear Pastor Franklin and Mr. Shimon Sabag, founder of Yad Ezer Lechaver in Haifa, I would like to thank both of you for your generous assistance to new immigrants for Commonwealth of Independent States in Ethiopia, Holocaust survivors, and youth at risk. You are giving such magnificent help during this difficult time of the coronavirus. God bless you. God bless Israel, Shana Tova, and Shalom to all of you from Israel.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on our Holy Land tour. It's an amazing trip, unlike anything you've ever experienced. And we'll be on the trip, we get on the buses, our family will be on there, and I promise you, it will change your life. You've been thinking about it, you've been praying about it. This is the year to go. God's going to open your eyes to things you've never seen and experienced before in the Holy Land. Get signed up today.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.